a dangerous man.
One dangerous dude. Dangerous dude.
But I was bad to the bone. Bad to the bone.
Oh, I'm bad. I'm nationwide.
My plan is no plan.
Are you kidding me, Chico?
The most dangerous person on the internet is...
is one dangerous dude.
Yes, he is. Yes, yes, he is.
I'm a bad, bad man. I'm bad.
Yeah, you're damn right he is.
Hey, you know how you go by the doctor on your radio station?
Why, yes. Yes, I do.
Does anybody ever call you Dr. Love? They call you Dr. Love.
I've been called a lot of things, but not Dr. Love.
Or do they just call you Dr. Dave?
I get a lot of Dr. Daves. I get also a lot of doctors. And then there is a brand of underwear called Dr. Denton's.
Really?
Yeah, they're long johns.
Huh.
And I've often gotten the Dr. Denton thing from people.
What about Dr. Scholl's?
My feet need them, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're a hardworking man.
Yes, I work hard for my money.
Okay, Dave, it's time to get on point.
Point.
Get on point.
Point. I'm ready.
How was Raw this week, dude?
Raw. A little uneven, yeah. But I can see why they're doing what they're doing. But the big news coming out of Raw, and you know this, I'm sure.
Yeah.
The Undertaker is back.
Yay.
Yay.
You know what would have been even cooler?
What's
that? Had him turn around and choke slam Roman Reigns, too.
I would have loved that. That would have been awesome.
And just been like, yeah, screw everybody.
You think this is your yard? Wrong.
Wrong.
Uh-huh.
Little bitch. Little Roman bitch. This is the Undertaker's yard. Well, actually, you can kind of say bitch, right? They say it on WWE. It's like what's his name? Like our friend from Australia says, the bitch clause.
Uh-huh. How many can you have?
Yes. Yes. Okay. So I want to tell you, listening to a few of the podcasts this week.
Uh-huh.
Okay, dude, I tried to listen. Like, Chris listens to the Jim Cornette podcast.
Right.
I tried to listen to it, dude. And he spent, seriously, the first 45 minutes talking about the deer in his backyard.
That would be Jimmo.
And I was like, what? Yeah. I was like, what are you talking about, dude? Like, when are you going to talk about, like, something besides deer and animals in your backyard?
Uh-huh.
I just was like, this is stupid, so I shut it off.
How many cuss words did he use?
A few.
More than a few, usually.
I don't know, maybe he was in a good mood or something, talking about how a cute little deer in his backyard, and I was just like, okay, this is boring. But one that I did listen to that was really good, Busted Open Radio.
Okay.
It's on Sirius Satellite on Thursdays, I think, and they shorten up the show a little bit and put it out as a podcast. And Bully Ray was on,
uh-huh.
And that was really good.
Oh, really?
And they had MJF on there.
Yeah.
And that guy is going places, dude.
If he can stay alive, I mean, this guy, he pushes the envelope, man.
Oh, dude, it was so funny. He knows how to get under people's skin.
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to be great, dude. He's like the Miz times, like, three on his insults.
Oh, really?
Oh, if him and the Miz could go at it on the mic, that would be a match made in heaven.
Oh, that would be awesome.
I'm talking about heel Miz, not face Miz.
Yeah,
face
heel
Miz sucks. I just don't like face Miz.
I'm not much on face Miz either.
But one thing I want to talk to you about that they focused a lot of the podcast on was the Lone Wolf. the former Raw GM. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, when the Lone Wolf, it isn't Leonard Kosnowski of Linear and Squeaky on Laverne and Shirley. You're talking.
No, it's the constipated.
The constipated Baron Corbin, right?
The constipated Baron Corbin. Baron's like the man right now. He is like the face of the show. Tell me what your feelings are on that.
Don't particularly like it. I'm more of a fan of Baron Corbin than a lot of people that express their opinions are. I like his ring work. I like his persona. But I don't particularly like the push he's been receiving as of late.
Yeah, and you know, they've been talking on the podcast, like, I guess Vince loves Baron Corbin. He just thinks that he is the best.
Uh-huh.
And but so the point that Bully Ray, and it was, I can't remember what the other host's name is, you know, they were talking about how they don't understand why people don't like Baron Corbin. They're like, you know, he gets heel heat. They said, is it heel heat or is it go-away heat? And if it's go-away heat, why? You know, he's your typical heel. He's a bad guy. He's this and that. And Bully Ray loves it, thinks he's great. And they can't understand why the fans don't like Baron Corbin. And I kind of was like, you know, I can't quite put my finger on it, but I'm one of those fans that I don't like him. And it's not like I don't like him heel-wise. Like, if he literally was written off TV tomorrow, I wouldn't really care. Like, I wouldn't miss that much of him.
Oh, that you know, that makes a good explanation, because I'm the same way about Mr. Boring in the Bank. I don't care if he's there or not. But that's a really good explanation. I like the explanation between, is it heel heat or go-away heat? I had never heard that term before, and I like it.
Reach deep into your bag of tricks you got there. Or is that popcorn you have there?
It's popcorn today. Oh. Yeah.
Whatever you got there, reach in there and root around and see if you can pull out an explanation for me. Go.
Okay. Sometimes the fans will rebel. That's the word I'm looking for. Rebel against somebody they perceive as being pushed on them. And I'll give you an exact example of that. And it's for a face, okay? Several years ago, there was a young man who the fans just absolutely adored, but the WWE and the powers that be kept pushing him back and not letting the fans get exactly what they wanted. And then there was something called the Yes Movement. Mm. Daniel Bryan, you remember how all this was going on, and the fans were just upset because they wanted Daniel to have more success. And the WWE kept on saying no. Until the Yes Movement really hit, and then when they had that big event in Memphis, Tennessee, where they had the takeover. Now, I know that was part of the storyline at that point.
Yeah.
But up until that point, Daniel Bryan was not going to be a part of WrestleMania. He was not going to be wrestling for the championship like he did. The fans forced that on the WWE because they perceived that the WWE wasn't giving them what they want. And then I'm going to take it to the other extreme. They perceive that Baron Corbin doesn't deserve the push he's getting. That's why he's getting that go-away heat. I love that term, go-away heat.
You're kind of your explanation here, and I don't understand why. This is so. A year ago, Roman Reigns was getting. He was the man, the baby face, yada, yada, yada. And, I mean, everybody was booing him. They were sick of him. And they wanted him to go away. Like, everybody, I mean, like, you would have thought the fans would have turned that arena upside down on Roman Reigns' head and laughed as they chuckled and drove off in their cars at the end of the night.
Yeah.
And not cared whether Roman Reigns lived or died. I mean, and I mean, like, that's the feeling you got when those boos hit the arena when he walked in there.
Uh-huh.
And so Roman takes a little time off TV. He has leukemia, you know. And now all of a sudden everybody loves him. And I'm like, I still don't like Roman, though.
I think you're seeing a little bit of the backlash from that already, from his illness. And I, you know, personally, I know you do too. You wish him the well health-wise. I think you're starting to hear some of those boos again. But people love an underdog story, and here's somebody who had leukemia, and this is his second bout with leukemia, and he was very honest about what happened. But I'm starting to hear a few more boos, starting to see a little bit more anti-reaction when Roman comes out over the last maybe a month. I've been noticing that a little bit.
I booed him in Salt Lake, dude.
You that would.
That was me and this other guy that he was drunker than a skunk, and he was a couple rows to the south of me, and me and him were booing Roman and yelling at him and telling him he sucked.
Uh-huh.
It was awesome. It was awesome. But so if Baron Corbin's not the man, if Roman Reigns isn't the man, what does the future hold? And I'm sick of Rollins too, to be honest with you. I don't like Rollins as the champ.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of sick of Kofi too. It's like, here's my Kate. Now you tell me if you agree or disagree with this. I'll give you kind of an explanation. Hopefully it makes sense. So they guys like Kofi and Seth and gals like Becky Lynch, the story leading up to them, like Becky, you know, being pushed back and pushed back and pushed back and pushed back, and finally she gets the belt, and it's kind of like, huh, well, she got the belt, now what?
Yeah.
It's just kind of like, it's like everything just falls flat on its face after they get the belt. I mean, you know, like Kofi had a good match against Dolph, and
oh, that dive out of the cage was incredible.
Yeah, that looked like a hurt, though.
Oh, yeah, man, but it was
incredible. I mean, he landed right on his shoulder, man. Lucky he didn't land on his neck, dude. That was cool, though. That was a good match. I mean, it was a little slow, but it was, you know, it was pretty good.
Okay.
In my opinion, there wasn't a lot of super high spots, but uh-huh. It was entertaining.
Right. It was so much better than the Super Letdown show. That's what I made the comment about.
Yeah.
That Super Letdown show was just pathetic.
Okay, so kind of along the same thing we're talking about. Bully Ray and the host of this Busted Open, they were talking about how they could not believe and how disrespectful. There's been a lot of people talk about how disrespectful and how rude the fans were and how awful it was that they were chanting, "This is boring, this is stupid." And Bully Ray's like, he just didn't get it. He's like, I don't understand what the hell these people wanted. You know, what did they want? He says, here's your classic baby face and heel match for the championship. And the people chanting boring and stupid. And, you know, tell me what you think about that.
Okay. Now, this is Dave's opinion. I mean, how much weight do you got? A disclaimer here, the comments you heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being, and I am getting ready to explain that. Right now, it is popular to go to WWE events and boo and chant, "This is stupid, this is boring." It's the popular thing to do. It's the mob mentality. Because I was watching the event, and I was enjoying it, and I couldn't understand why. Then it came to me. They were so upset with the past few pay-per-views, as a fandom would do. And then you get into, I know there wasn't a lot of people there, but probably 5,000 people were there at the event. And then you get a few that are very vocal, and it becomes almost a crowd mentality. Oh, let's get into the fun and chant. This is stupid. This is boring. We want Becky. Our CM Punk. CM Punk. That's the one I don't understand. Holy crap, I'm tired of CM Punk chants. Get over it. He ain't coming back. I don't want him to come back. Get over it. But I do think right now for the crowd, it is popular to do those chants in a negative sense. And I'm going to ask you, did you notice any of that type thing going on in Salt Lake City when you went to the event 2 weeks ago?
You know, the Salt Lake City show was, it was pretty much, I would say, if I were to speculate, you know, judging by what I saw around, a lot of kids, a lot of young kids, a lot of parents that probably weren't huge wrestling fans, but kind of were tolerating it to take their kids. That's what the crowd seemed to be a lot of was,
yeah, not necessarily wrestling fans or WWE fans, but parents bringing their kids to the event.
Yeah, okay. And I think like you, you know, being on a Sunday and it's summertime and kids are out of school.
Yeah, it was Father's Day.
Day. It was kind of I would imagine too, being in Salt Lake City and on a Sunday, there was probably a lot of tickets given away.
Yeah,
and a lot of tickets. I know like they were offered special deals for WWE Network subscribers. You know, you could buy one, get one free and things like that. I don't know if that was the exact, but I know I heard of people talking about certain like emails they got to sponsor the Salt Lake City show.
Oh.
They got good seats for not very much. And I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was a select few that got it. I never got it.
I didn't either.
But
maybe they just did it to Salt Lake City proper because we're you know, 1.5-2 hours away.
It was your typical, like, you know, everybody cheering Roman Reigns and, you know, everybody boos Elias. And I'm over there yelling that I love Elias and I want to walk with Elias.
I'll walk with Elias any day.
I'm trying to show him my T-shirt, you know, but he wouldn't look at me.
Drats.
You know, I was the only one there with an Elias shirt. The only one telling everybody to shut up and give the man the respect that he's earned. You're talking to the greatest crossover wrestling and music act of today and in WWE history.
Walk with
and
Elias.
People won't show him the respect that he
walk with
deserves.
Elias. Preach on, brother. Preach on.
Yes. Did that kind of sound like a heel?
Yes.
That's my best heel. I'm not a very good heel, babe.
Okay. Yeah, because you're too nice of a guy.
Yeah. So what? It's kind of a weird time to be a WWE fan, like right now. Like everybody's not happy unless they're pissed off at the WWE.
I like it. That goes back to that mob mentality that I was talking about.
As a wrestling fan, I just enjoy wrestling. You know, like we talk every show how much I love like championship wrestling from Hollywood, Arizona, just these smaller shows. And you know, and I enjoyed the, you know, AEW, and I've listened to the Jericho podcast. I've been keeping up with, you know, the Moxley stuff, and I'm almost cringing your typical, like, your the AEW fanboys, if you will. They remind me of people who diss DC movies. You know, they're like, oh, you know, Ben Affleck sucks as Batman, you know, and it's like, you obviously have never read a DC comic book because Ben Affleck is like the portrayal of Batman, you know, and they're like, that's the way I compare them to AEW fans right now. It's like, nobody knows what it is. Nobody knows what it's going to be, but yet they chant AEW, AEW at WWE events. And it's like, you read on the comments section on the WWE stuff, and everybody's like, oh, AEW is going to be so awesome. You know, and it's just like, what? If you guys want to say that, like, post, like, why are you being like that way towards, I know it's a freedom of speech, yada, 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 but, like, I would never go to a Marvel comic book store and be like, you know what? You guys suck. DC is better.
I wouldn't either. That's disrespectful because two different companies, two different styles. And I like your explanation about Ben Affleck. I mean, a lot of people didn't like Ben Affleck as Batman, but I enjoyed his portrayal of Batman because it was brooding, and that's what a Batman is, and a little bit older character than a Christian Bale Batman. My wife and I have discussed this many times with Ben Affleck. Wouldn't he be the perfect Batman in a Batman Beyond movie?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So, well, let's get back into professional wrestling. I'm just going to say this about AEW. I'm excited for them. I can't wait to see what their product is. But I'm frankly getting scared for them. And let me explain why. The fanboys, the marks, the smarks, the people are putting so much pressure on them to come out of the gate running. If they stub their toe, let's say those first couple of TV broadcasts are not very good, that they have lots of botches, there's lots of technical issues, and the storylines are stupid. Then what are those people that are saying, AEW is going to be so cool? What are they going to do? They're going to turn on them so fast because they're not fans. They are anti-WWE.
I was reading some comment stuff the other day, and some people are really, really pissed off at AEW. Because
already?
You know, they've taken a lot. They're saying they're going to kill Impact. They're going to put Impact out of business, and that's not good for business. And they've taken a lot of ROH talent away, and diehard ROH fans and stuff are pissed off that everybody's jumping ship from ROH and going to AEW.
Oh, get a life.
I don't know. I'm just commenting that, like, you know, is that even relative at this point? Are they going to, I mean, I don't want to see Impact go under. As you know, they got their issues. I know they're kind of like the redheaded stepchild or something of the larger promotions right now. But they're putting out some pretty decent stuff.
Yes, they are. Sammy Callahan, he's the man. You know, I love Sammy Callahan. Yeah.
Killer Cross.
I think I think he's left Impact now.
So is he done? I knew that they had some disagreements, but I didn't know he was.
I'm not 100% sure on that. And then, I don't know if you saw on social media, our friend the MK Bandit in one of the promotions has a little deal going on with Killer Cross.
Oh, cool.
Isn't that cool? Yeah.
That's great.
But let me just put this when you're talking about that. You know the story of the cart and the horse?
Yeah.
They're putting the cart before the horse. There is so much to be learned about All Elite Wrestling. And I wish them the best. I am so excited for them. But I'm trying to go into this realistically. And I don't think these people that are complaining about the WWE or maybe complaining about All Elite, that they're looking at this as a business and as a realistic business venture.
I mean, look, let's use the analogy of the, what was that, that football league that just came out, that was going to be out this summer.
Yeah, the American Football League, I think
American
it was.
Football league.
Yeah, they had a place in Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City Stallions. And
yeah, MK Bandit worked with them, yeah.
There was a coach that left Snow College. He was guaranteed 4 years.
Wow.
They had to go to the Stallions. And so he left a good position at the college as an assistant coach to go up there and be an assistant coach. And
didn't last a year.
And it didn't even last a year. So, you know, everybody says, oh, yeah, well, Tony, he's pumping millions into it. He's guaranteed funding. Well, it's kind of like going back to Tommy Boy. You know, you can get a good look at a T-bone steak by sticking your head up a bull's ass, but wouldn't you rather take a butcher's word for it? You know,
I love that movie.
What happens if all of a sudden he decides that the guarantee is not on the box and he pulls his funding, you know?
Yeah. Hey, it could happen, man. It could happen.
Look at what happened with that with the you know, the football AFL or whatever.
Yeah.
They had 4 years guaranteed funding. And it was done for. And I talked to he's actually the head coach, the football coach at Snow College, and he played professional with the Seahawks, and he went into, it was a minor league deal. It was kind of like an arena football, but it was a little bit different.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it didn't get a lot of traction. And
the indoor football league, probably. There was an indoor football league, yeah.
Yeah, and he signed a deal with them that was like a 2-year or 4-year deal, and it didn't last. It only lasted one season. And they sued, and they were finally able to collect after everybody had a big lawsuit. So it took like 4 years, and they got like a third of their contract or something.
Wow.
I guess my whole point, my long way around getting to what I'm saying is, what happens if Tony Khan decides to pull out?
And, you know, he's a businessman. You know, he is a businessman. Owns the Jacksonville Jaguars. Got tons of money, but he didn't get that money by throwing away money. And that's why I'm saying the cart before the horse. There's still so much to be decided about All Elite Wrestling. And you can be excited about it. You can be a fan. You can root for them. You hoping they're going to be the best. But to think that they're going to make that much of a difference against the WWE, I don't think it's going to happen, because what's that first time they're going to stub their toe? Something's going to happen. They're going to stub their toe, and their ratings start going down. And then what is going to happen to All Elite and the fanboys and the marks out there? How are they going to react? Will they turn on them? And well, I think they will.
You know, go back to Double or Nothing, and like, you know, like in the Battle Royale and some of these things. How much of that talent? How much names did you recognize?
I didn't recognize a whole bunch of them. I just didn't. But then again, going back to Double or Nothing, I thought the most entertaining match was the women's 6-man Japanese wrestlers. I thought that was such an entertaining match. And the others were great. I mean, Dustin and Cody was a great match, told a great story. But as far as an entertaining match, I liked that 6-woman tag match. And
yeah.
I didn't know one of those wrestlers.
Let's face it, like, now with NXT and stuff like that, the WWE is doing a really good job of getting names out there on television and getting people propped up before they even show up on Raw or SmackDown, or I mean, like Adam Cole, baby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody knows who Adam Cole is, even though he hasn't stepped foot in Raw. Everybody knows who Tommaso Ciampa is. Everybody knows who Johnny Gargano is, and they've spent very little time on Raw. So AEW comes along, and you get Jimbo, the ring boy, the third, and who is he?
That's one of the things that they're going to have to really be very careful with when they're doing their storytelling. They're going to have to put in some veterans against some of these young guys and let the young guys tell their story to give them either heel or face heat. So it's going to, you know, if you get two unknowns in there, people are going to turn it off real quick, because frankly, they want to see the stars.
And I didn't know MJF. I didn't know who he was until Double or Nothing.
Uh-huh.
I have any idea who he was.
Yeah.
I have any idea.
I had seen him on MLW, on Major League Wrestling, and I saw him one time on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. So I was fairly familiar with him, but I didn't realize how good he was.
Like I said, so, you know, there's, you know, a lot of talent and a lot of people coming out of Japan, but there's very little New Japan fans out there.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe that's not the right thing to say, because there probably is a lot of New Japan fans. But, like the MK Bandit says, there's WWE fans and there's professional wrestling fans. And there's a far, far more WWE fans than there are
professional wrestling fans.
Are you listening, All Elite fans? Are you listening? Say that one more time, my friend.
The WWE fans versus the pro wrestling fans?
Yes.
You know, so they start recruiting guys out of Japan and things like that, and who's going to know who they are?
That's why they have to be real careful how they bring these people in and let them tell their story and let them build a storyline. Hangman Adam Page. Great talent, has been all over the world. He's wrestled in New Japan, ROH, and a lot of the indies. He was part of the Bullet Club. But how many people outside of the WWE universe know who Hangman Adam Page is? They're going to have to let him get a little bit more popular before they give him a huge push.
Yeah, and he's already going for the AEW title.
Yeah, he's a great talent, a great talent.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, but have you ever heard of a guy named Roosh? I think I've talked to you about him.
You've talked to me about him.
Yeah, he's a AAA star, and he's in ROH right now, and this kid is awesome. I mean, I don't think I have seen anybody in a long time that I looked at him, saw his look, ring work, and went, oh, yeah, this kid can go far. And I think Roosh is an up-and-coming star, and also Bandido in the ROH. But then again, you still have those old stars there in ROH that are helping them set up storylines. You've got Jay Lethal. You've got Kenny King. You've got the last real man in professional wrestling, Silas Young. And then you've got the Briscoes that are helping build these stars. And I think ROH is being brilliant after losing some of their main stars to All Elite. I think it's a brilliant strategy.
So I guess back to what we're talking about is so what does it mean for WWE fans, and what happens moving forward?
Same old, same old. Although, I don't know if you heard about the news that broke yesterday, WWE has made some changes in their front office. Guess who's going to be running Raw behind the scenes?
I did see that.
None other than Paul Heyman on Raw and Eric Bischoff for SmackDown. It's not known whether they'll have on-camera roles. I think they should do something on camera, not to the extent like Eric Bischoff did before, but I think they should be some sort of on-roll camera because they are names, you know, and they're brilliant wrestling man. I think that's probably one of the biggest issues between now and when All Elite makes their TV debut. How is this Paul Heyman on Raw and Eric Bischoff SmackDown, how is that going to affect the wrestling world from this point on?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's cool. You know, I'd love to see some good old-fashioned storytelling like WCW and ECW stuff. But here's my question, though, is what good does this do if their hands are tied?
That's one of the questions that Chris and I talked about, too. Is Vince going to let them have autonomy? Is he going to say, okay, guys, run with it? I'm going to let you, as I said, I'm going to let you fail so you can learn how to succeed. Is he going to let them have enough failures before he steps in and ruins everything because they have good ideas that are going to succeed, but a few failures? Is he going to say, well, I'm Vince Kennedy McMahon, and you got to listen to me because I have all the money? I hope he doesn't do that, and I think he should give them some autonomy.
So that brings me to another question that everybody seems to be pissed off about these days, and we've talked about it before, but I've always liked the way I think our podcast and you and I and we deal with the things. It's like everybody hates Vince. They're so down on Vince right now. You know, Hunter needs to be running the company. Hunter needs to be running the company. Vince sucks. So does Vince need to step down? Does Vince need to take a back seat? Does Hunter need to really take the bull by the horns? And, you know, because like John Moxley says that Hunter is a little bit better to deal with than Vince, but Hunter still got his issues, I guess you'd say. Hunter's been in the WWE his whole freaking career.
Yeah, for a short time, you know? He was in WCW just a very short time before he moved up. But let me ask you this. You work. You're a working man. Do you answer to a boss? Uh-huh. And who's the boss? Is Vince. But to be a really good boss, you need to have that oversight, but you also need to know when to let the reins go.
Yeah, and you're right.
Yeah, does Vince know how to loosen up the reins? That's my question. Will he give them enough leeway to be able to say, you know, I'm not having to look over my shoulder every minute on every storyline? Will he come in and say, I don't particularly like the way this is going. Can we maybe go in a different direction? That is better than coming in and saying, I don't like this. I'm going to change everything. That's the difference between a good boss and a bad boss.
Well, and you know, Moxley talked about it was on PW Torch. The host of that podcast talked about how, you know, after Stone Cold left and during, you know, the Ruthless Aggression era and things like that, how things started to get super, super scripted. And so will we ever see a time that it comes back to being where the athletes are allowed to, you know, bounce ideas off of a creative, but yet cut their own promo? I mean, Moxley talks about him and Rollins out in the ring. He says it was their very first time on Raw, and they're like, you know, they get in the ring and they cut this promo, and they're backstage high-fiving, and it's like so awesome. And Mox is like, what did we even say? It says like, he's like, I don't know. I know they gave us the script and we memorized it.
Well, I think what you're going to have to see happen is a little bit more cooperation between the talent and the creative side. I don't understand why creative comes up with a complete storyline and then the wrestlers have to go into the ring and tell the story. I just don't understand why they can't go in there and say, okay, John Moxley, or maybe let's just get it back to Daniel Bryan. Okay, Daniel Bryan, what would you like this character to say? If you were in character, what would you say? Now, I know that promos are hard. Ad-libbing is very difficult. But boy, if once you get good at ad-libbing, or maybe getting inside that character's head, that's when things take off.
Well, and that's what, and you know, not just that, but a managerial role.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's why we need managers. You know, a guy like Roman, I mean, let's face it, all the training and whatever you may see, Roman still can't cut a promo to save his life. You know what Roman needs to say? Like, I'm going to come down there and I'm going to hit you in the mouth. And like, that's it.
Uh-huh.
And if Roman's going to say more, he needs to have a talking head for him.
Exactly.
You know, there's just some people who just, let's face it. You can send Roman to promo school. You can have Steve Austin, the promo king, working right side by side to him. But sometimes you just can't. If it doesn't click, it doesn't click. Moxley talked about that too in one of his interviews. Was that he was always a little bit more comfortable on the mic and stuff over Roman and Seth.
Uh-huh.
You know, he said so because they asked him, you know, how come you were the talking piece of the Shield? And he's just like, I don't know. He's like, that's just kind of the way it ended up. You know, I was always a little more comfortable on the mic and I could, you know, and so they gave him kind of the talking head role of the Shield, and it worked really good.
Yeah.
I mean, you remember those little vignettes backstage with the camera and Dean holding the little camera and him, you know, those were good and he did a good job. But could you imagine, do you think the Shield would have been anything at all if Roman was back there going, you know, we're the best tag team ever, and Dean Ambrose is the U.S. title holder, and I come from the Rock's my cousin. Yeah. And that's not offensive to Roman, because Roman's good, dude. Yeah. He's obviously made it more places than I'll ever be. It's easy to be an armchair quarterback in this situation.
You got the perfect example is Mr. Boring in the Bank. Where would he be without Paul Heyman? Nowhere.
Yeah, because he'd be over there going, I have a boombox. I can dance in the ring. I'm cool.
And my wife is beautiful. I don't like people.
Brock's gonna listen. And he's gonna hunt us down. And he's gonna kill us both.
Yeah, he probably would. Put us both
in a Kimura.
But he wouldn't. I mean, honestly, he can't cut a promo. He never has been a good promo guy, and I think he would tell you that.
No, and you remember when Brock first came out? I remember when Brock debuted, and he came out in those traps. Gigantic. The guy is just enormous, but he didn't say anything for a long time. He didn't cut a promo. He didn't.
And Goldberg. Talk. Yeah, Goldberg couldn't talk. All he would say was, Sting, you're next. That's all you needed. That's the art of a promo is hard to learn, but also being brief can be better than being long, especially 15 to 20 minutes at the beginning of Raw.
So where do we go from here? What happens next?
We just sit back and enjoy the ride.
So how do we not get frustrated and pissed off at the WWE and want to jump ship to AEW?
I don't think you should not get pissed off at the WWE and jump ship if that's what you want. That it's a personal taste sometimes. You and I are both professional wrestling fans. We're also fans of the WWE. I mean, to me, watching Kofi Kingston dive out of that steel cage was incredible. I loved the storyline with Lacey Evans being the special guest referee. A lot of people didn't. I just wish people...
Good.
Yeah,
it was good. It was a good little twist, I mean, knew Lacey was going to do whatever she could to
that's what a heel does.
Exactly. That's just people are so annoyed by that.
What was she supposed to come out there and call it down the middle of it wouldn't work. Good.
Yeah,
grief.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I'm not going to tell anybody not to get behind AEW. I'm not going to tell anybody that they should love everything the WWE does. And this is the reason why. And you and I know, and I talk about it all the time, I work in the radio industry, which is part of entertainment. I am an entertainer. Not everybody's going to like what I do, and I understand that. I hope they'll at least enjoy some of what I do. And I think that if you go into any form of entertainment, you got to have a thick skin, because you're not going to please everybody. It's not going to happen. Because some people like DC Comics better than Marvel Comics, and some people like Marvel movies better than DC movies.
Wait,
it's matter of taste.
I thought that we had to be critical of everything, and if we liked Marvel, we had to hate DC.
Yeah, we do. That's true.
What was it that you and I disagreed on the other day? I can't remember. We were texting, and you said something, and I said,
Oh, the comedic wrestling. With Gentleman Jervis and this Orange Julius dude.
Oh,
what is his name? Orange Cassidy?
No, Orange Cassidy,
Oh, jeez.
Orange Cassidy's the laziest wrestler in the industry right now.
He's also the stupidest wrestler in the industry right now. Although I thought of you this afternoon, because I sat down and I have DVR'd the show called The Wrestler on Viceland. And I'm right in the middle of it. I haven't watched all of it yet, but... They're doing a whole entire piece about the crazy wrestling in Japan. DDT. I can't remember exactly what
DDT.
DDT.
I know.
Yeah. They're the ones that wrestle with blow-up dolls. They're the ones that will wrestle on the street in a train. They'll use any kind of weapon like Roman candles, shooting in people's back with a Roman candle. And then they have, I was looking at some of the stuff, and some of these guys can go as wrestlers, and some of them I'm going, oh my word, that was just stupid. but it gets over with certain fans.
I think that's where Joey Ryan did the first.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They showed that. They showed that. And that wrestler he was against is an openly gay wrestler. And they talked about that and how it affects the fans over there. They wrestle with blow-up dolls. They also do invisible wrestling over there.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, I mean, if it entertains you, fine. But Gentleman Jervis, I'm not a fan of. And this
You're
art,
not?
No.
Oh, dude. And then he's like the nicest guy in the ring, right?
He weighs 3,000 butterflies. I know.
Oh, dude.
I'm not a fan. And then this orange Julius idiot, I mean... I'm sorry. This
Orange Cassidy.
Not a fan. But then again, you know what? Let me tell you this, Zane. You like him, and that's okay with me.
Yeah.
That's fine.
You know,
with me,
and I'll tell you, you know, if I were to go to a promotion and every single match was Orange Cassidy versus, you know, Jervis Cottonbelly, I would probably get a little bored.
Oh, yeah. But there, you know, that would be an interesting role, the thing to talk to somebody like the MK Bandit or somebody in the business about the role of comedy and comedic wrestlers.
You know, and I mean, look at what's going on with the 24/7 title right now. The
24/7
title has turned into a comedy show. You and I love the 24/7 title.
Yes, we do.
I think it's hilarious. Chris hates it. He thinks it's the stupidest thing that the WWE has ever done in their entire existence. You know, everybody was expecting it to be more of a hardcore title or this or that.
It's the number one YouTube channel right now is the 24. That's the number one search right now is the 24/7 title. So, but you know, when the crowd on SmackDown this past week started shouting constipated, I was a fan. Anytime you can talk about constipation on TV, then I, Dave Denton, am a big fan.
Well, Dave Denton, you're a big fan of professional wrestling, and that's why I like you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Well, Dave, I think we've covered a lot of various topics. I think it was a really good, more of a conversation than a podcast almost, you know?
Got some points across, I think, very informed points and fun points. That's what I always say about our podcast. Fun, but I think we get our point across.
Time to be a wrestling fan, isn't it, Dave?
Yes, it are.
Yeah. Well, Dave, I hope you make it out to see Spider-Man Homecoming soon.
Oh, I'm planning on probably a couple of weeks after it's out. I'll watch it. That comes out next week, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, and I went to see Dark Phoenix. I liked that. A lot of people didn't, but I liked it.
Good.
So.
Good. Well, you know, wrestling, pop culture, all kinds of cool stuff right now going on, and hey, let's keep it up.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair, woo!
Freedom of speech, yada, yada, yada.
And I need some psychotherapy.
Yeah, I was just walking to the bathroom, and Chavo Guerrero is right next to me.
I'm back. And I'm better than ever.
Yay.
I'm talking about heel Miz, not face Miz. Face Miz sucks. Shut up and give the man the respect that he's earned.
Well, back in the day.
The constipated Baron Corbin.
Constipation! These people are in Washington.
What are you talking about, dude?
People are from the bars looking at us. What are these people doing? We're walking down the middle of the street chanting NXT, NXT, NXT.
You can get a good look at a T-bone steak by sticking your head up a bull's ass, but wouldn't you rather take a butcher's word for it?
Fail so they can succeed.
I have a boombox. I can dance in the ring. I'm cool.
With Gentleman Jervis and this Orange Julius dude.
This doesn't feel special.
You know, he is the one-man human sweat gland.
Man, he knows how to get under people's skin.
He's not the ice cream man. He's the dead man.
Preach on, brother. Preach on.
You know, we're the best tag team ever.
Orange Cassidy's the laziest wrestler in the industry right now.
He's also the stupidest wrestler in the industry right now.